Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Lee Preston. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Lee is the founder of Shadow of His Wings Ministry. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. Today's broadcast, Healing Hidden Wounds with Lee Preston, focuses on helping individuals who struggle with unwanted same-sex attraction. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Lee on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. It's really great to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan, and I'm here with Lee. Lee, how are you?
I'm good, Jonathan.
Good. Well, before we get started on this week's broadcast, I just wanted to remind all of you out there that we are a listener-supported broadcast, and we are so grateful to those of you who came alongside of us this year and who continue to do so. And we just want to let you know that there are opportunities for you to give in multiple different ways, whether it be financially, whether it be through some expertise you have in a service, whether it be some material donations, such as office supplies or even automobiles, any kind of materials that you could write off as a deduction and give to support our ministry. You can learn all about that by going to puresexradio.com and then clicking on the Make a Donation button. Well, Lee, this week we've got a really exciting broadcast, I think, because it's going to be geared towards dads. And so, dads, if you're listening, you know, turn up the speakers. Moms, if you're listening, don't turn it off. Just record it so that dad can hear it later, because this is going to be really about how fathers can help their sons really develop masculinity, grow up to be a well-rounded, healthy man. Because Lee, didn't you say that some of the things that you hear from a lot of parents is, I'm so scared that my son, or even my daughter, but mainly, you know, my son is going to one day say to me, Dad, I'm gay.
Sure, sure. You know, and it's interesting because this concept kind of came to me. I mean, it's always been something that I've wondered about and studied about and prayed about, but you know, just the idea for this show kind of came to me as I've been working with a couple of young guys that I see in counseling, and just, you know, just the desires of that young boy's heart for their father to know who they are. And this is not just a show for fathers who may have sons who struggle with homosexuality. I mean, this is one of these guys struggles with heterosexual addiction, but it's still a need to be known. It's that these guys want their dads to know who they are and to feel like they're somehow okay with their dad and that their dad sees them as an okay person.
And what I hear you kind of saying in that is there's a need to be embraced.
Sure.
And I'm not talking about just like a hug or physical embrace, but just for a son to feel like, okay, Dad embraces all of me, emotionally, physically, spiritually. I mean, it's like, because I think, don't you think what causes some of these issues is there's this feeling of distance, detachment, this massive chasm between him and his father that, from the kid's perspective, certainly has no idea how you would close that gap.
Right.
And probably has tried some things, maybe acting out in some certain ways, maybe, you know, doing foolish, stupid things to even get in trouble to get attention. And so but the father should be the one that is taking responsibility and taking the initiative to close that gap, don't you believe?
Sure, sure. And the father needs to, you know, at least grab onto the idea and really perhaps even think back on his own childhood as to what did he really want from his dad. And most dads can say, and most sons can say, what they wanted from their dads is love, and love and acceptance. You know, those two things that say, there's absolutely nothing about you that I don't love. I may not like everything you do, but I love you unconditionally, and you're accepted unconditionally as well.
So some of this could be just generational patterns.
Sure, sure, most definitely. I think one of the things that's is definitely a key is the generational issue that sometimes comes up, which is sons aren't allowed to show emotion in the family. You better dry it up, right? You better quit crying, or I'm going to give you something to cry about.
Right.
You know, those things that happen sometimes come out of a dad's mouth when he's angry. And sometimes he doesn't have to be angry. Sometimes he just can feel uncomfortable that his son is crying and just tells him not to cry. And, you know, of course, our first reaction is, oh, but I don't want my son to walk around, you know, with his, what's the old phrase, feelings on the end of his sleeves all the time.
Right.
But he does need some sort of acknowledgement that your emotions are important to me.
Well, you know, confessional time here, because, you know, one of the things I like about doing this radio program is, see, you listeners, you actually think that we do this radio program for you guys, but really I have Lee and Steve come in here all the time because I need a lot of help.
That's right.
I need a lot of help in my parenting and becoming a better man. And so as you're saying that, I'm thinking about my own son, Ethan, who is, he's 7 years old. And this is a kid who he knows how to express himself very loudly. And I remember when we first started having our kids, and Elaine and I, one of the things I said that I really wanted to hold as a value in our home was that I wanted my children to always be free to express themselves and express their emotions freely. It's funny how as they get older and their vocal cords get louder, that sometimes when you mentioned dad may not even be angry, but something might make him feel uncomfortable. And I realized that's some of the trouble I even have in my own home is that just this kid that's just sometimes I think the red and the blue wire hit each other every now and then in his brain, and it's just like this explosion of
right.
And I'm thinking, what caused that? And I'm kind of going, and he can keep doing that. And it's just like, sometimes it's just out of sheer joy that he's expressing. Sometimes it's pain. Sometimes it's, you know, sorrow or whatever. But just the expression just erupts out of him. And I'm realizing just through what you're saying, you know, my reaction to that is going to play a huge role in his life on how he's going to learn how to express his emotions, and whether it's a safe place to express his emotions or whether he's, got to start shutting it down because I'm around dad.
Right. And I think it's important, you know, the Bible says train up a child in the way they should go. You know, he will require training in that loudness, mm-hmm. but to allow him to feel okay about sharing that emotion, regardless of what package it comes in.
Right.
And, you know, trying to help him understand, you know, I think crying is one of the biggies, but I think it's also helping a son learn how to express his own fear, too. Because a lot of times we don't like feeling afraid, and we don't want our sons to see that we're afraid, and so therefore we don't want them to show fear to us either. And sometimes what that can show is that what that kind of demonstrates to a kid is that I'm really not ever supposed to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I am, I'm just not supposed to tell anybody about it. And so then there's that emotion that never gets dealt with. There's that thing that's kind of hidden away that never gets dealt with. Whether it's I'm afraid I'm not quite living up to what I should be, whether it's I'm afraid I'm never going to have friends, whether it's I'm afraid I'm going to be this weirdo all my life, or I'm never going to have, you know, a girlfriend, or I'm never going to be okay in my circle of friends. I mean, any of those fears that they just don't bring to us because they've already gotten the hidden message that fear's not okay to talk about here.
And, you know, that's probably a huge one that's going to hit on a lot of nerves of the people that are listening, because I think that is one that creates a lot of confusion in a young child, is because as these fears come up, if they've tried to express them to their parents, and the parents, who are obviously looking at the situation through an adult's grid.
Exactly.
A lot of the things that hit the tripwire of our kids' fears, to us as an adult, are no big deal, right?
Sure,
And so if we're saying to our kids, oh, get over it, that's no big deal, we got to remember that's a child's perspective that's looking at whatever that thing is that caused this fear in them, and whether and we may look at it as, from an adult's perspective, and say that's silly, that's stupid, it's not that big a deal. And what we've just done is we've just shut that kid down. We've tucked something else away where they say, I can't bring my fears. What's going to happen when those become adult-sized fears or adolescent-sized fears?
Sure.
They've already learned, I don't bring my silly, stupid fears to my parents.
Sure, because they're not going to want to hear them. And they're going to only see it as, oh, you know, quit making such a big deal out of it. You know, yeah, we can see, you know, being afraid of the dark, which I don't mind saying. There were some things that went bump in my house in the middle of the night when I was asleep in the middle of the dark, and when it was dark, and I thought, wow, I could be real scared of this thing. But you take that in adolescence, and then you've got this fear of, am I going to really ever be an okay guy?
Yeah.
You know, do I fit in here? But I can't go talk to Dad about that because he's just going to go, ah, who cares? Or let's bring up the word masturbation. You know, sometimes that's a scary thing. You know, even that first nocturnal emission, the wet dream at night. It's like, what just happened here? And guys are like, I don't know, and I can't really talk to anybody about it. I've had, you know, time after time in counseling where guys have told me they spent most of their adolescence in fear that something was crazy wrong with them because of their sexuality.
Mm.
And so you've got this issue going on that I must be something weird, and I don't know who to talk to about it.
Yeah, and that's just and what we want to do here in this broadcast again is we want to help dads understand how to not only relate better with their sons as they're growing up, but also to help train them in these transitional periods. Because I think there are, and we're going to get to this, I think there are some key things that a dad needs to take the initiative to instill in his son so that when the son gets to these certain, watershed moments in his life, he's going to say, oh, you know what, that's what Dad was talking about when he talked about, you know, either being a chip off the old block, or that's what Dad was talking about when he said, you're going to make it, you're going to be a man, you're going to get through this. And sometimes those words have never been spoken to a kid. So when he hits those moments, he's kind of left to his own wisdom, his own devices, his own reasoning to be able to try to come up with solutions. And, you know, when we get these guys who eventually come to our ministry, or when you get them and they come to your ministry, we see what happened when they were left to their own devices.
Sure.
To try to figure these very difficult things out.
Most definitely. I like to say that Satan is a being of question marks. He loves to leave question marks.
Yeah.
And either he'll answer them or we'll get the truth. And if you got a bunch of adolescent boys running around with question marks and there's not any truth to answer those question marks, they'll come up with answers on their own. But they may not be the answers that lead them down the right path.
So what do dads need to do then? Let's help some of these dads. What needs to be some of the key things that are instilled from a father into his son in order to help him kind of get through this terrain of adolescence and grow into manhood?
Well, I think one of the biggest fears that most guys struggle with is fear of, am I going to live up to what Dad sees in me? Am I going to live up to his expectations? It's almost like it turns later into the bigger fear of failure. Have I failed somehow? And kind of getting that feedback from Dad. It's not something that a son will know how to go get from Dad, but it's something that Dad needs to give the son as a gift that says, you know, you meet my expectations.
Well, and you know what? It's interesting because I've asked myself this question and I've asked the other guys this question. What would be the greatest statement that you would ever want to hear from your father? And it's interesting because as I've polled different guys, and even as I've asked myself that question, it's actually not, I love you, son. It's, I'm proud of you.
Sure.
And it's interesting. You know, a lot of women will not get that.
Exactly.
Girls won't get that because they're like, no, I want my dad to say he loves me.
Right.
But for guys, it's something about saying, you know, you did it. You made it. I'm proud of you. You are getting my approval. And that's different than love. There's almost like in us as kids, even as a young boy, there's kind of this expectation. Yeah, my parents should love me. But there's this other little component in a boy that says, but what I'm really searching for in Dad is for him to give me the thumbs up sign.
Exactly.
To say, you did it, man. I'm proud of you.
Right. You've done it. You've met the expectation. You've completed this specific time in your life, and I am proud of you. I'm proud of who you are. It leads on, in my opinion, it leads on to the guy feeling a greater respect and self-respect later, because when Dad says, I'm proud of you, it's almost like he's saying, you know, as you enter into this rite of passage towards manhood, I respect you as a man.
Yeah.
And it's a great message to send.
And that's important for dads to hear, because you need to be looking for opportunities all along the way. Any moment that is a key moment in which you can say to your son, hey, man, you did it. Pat him on the back. I'm proud of you. I don't care if he just, was able to run around all the bases. He did it. He accomplished something.
Exactly.
He met a goal. I mean, go ahead and praise him for that and really encourage him and give him the thumbs up. I don't think a father can ever do that too much. You know, some dads have this delusional thought that says, I don't want to tell him he's doing great all the time, because then I don't want him to just set the bar too low.
Sure, spoil him or...
Yeah, and I'm thinking, so then you don't tell him at all?
Right.
Or like once a year or something? I mean, and I really don't think that message can be said too much to a child.
Sure.
When there are real goals met.
Right.
I mean, like, you know, a kid bringing the spoon of Apple Jacks to his mouth and eating it, go, oh, I'm so proud of you. I mean, maybe if they're 6 months old.
Sure.
But
sure.
Like, you know, a 10-year-old, come on, let's
right.
keep it realistic in terms of what you're saying you're proud of in your
right.
in your son, because otherwise it will cheapen the message.
Right.
But when it's legitimate, I don't think you can ever say it enough.
Right. And the kind of the more subtle kind of counterpart to that is the father who, you know, may never say I'm proud of you, or may say I'm proud of you occasionally, but also tends to point out a lot of the negative in his son. Don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Quit doing that. You're not doing that right. Or takes, I think about a time when I was growing up and my dad and I were working on something together, and he just kind of took the pliers out of my hand and said, oh, never mind, you're not doing it right. And that kind of just says you're not quite measuring up here. And when I kind of shared that story, guys will come up to me afterwards and say, man, that always happened to me. I'd be doing something if I wasn't doing it fast enough, or I wasn't doing it right enough, or I wasn't doing it with as much accuracy as my dad wanted. He'd just come up and take it out of my hand and do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of that thing of saying subtly, I don't think you're doing it right, and I'm not proud of you. It doesn't have to be the outright, I'm just not proud of you. Verbally, it may just be the nonverbal cues to say, I'm not proud of you.
And so I guess some of these questions that a dad needs to be thinking of that are actually going through a child's head, through his son's head, are questions like, am I okay? Do I matter? Are you proud? I mean, these are the sorts of questions that are kind of on a loop in a young boy's mind. And so I think it's important for the fathers listening to kind of take an inventory every now and then and say, wait a second, okay, have I responded to these maybe unspoken questions from my son? Have I told him, you know what, hey, you're okay. You're going to make it. And I think some of the key moments for talking about that is when a child comes home and let's say it's his first experience in gym class and he's changed clothes with these other boys in the class and being able to, if he comes home that day and all of a sudden he's particularly quiet and he's particularly kind of trying to just kind of be a wallflower, then it might be an opportunity for you to hear the unspoken question of, man, am I okay?
Sure.
Because I just saw myself as compared to a lot of these other kids, and I don't know what to think. And just for a dad to come up and be able to kind of intuitively be in tune with a kid that's usually real talkative, and then all of a sudden one day he comes home after his first day in gym class and he's not talking, to say, okay, trigger.
Right.
Let me go over there, put my arm around him and say, hey, you know what? I think you're great.
Right.
I think you're okay. You want to talk about what happened today?
Exactly. And I think the amazing thing about that is if you really think about it, I mean, and I'm posing this question to all the dads sitting out there, well, and guys in general, think back on your own childhood. When were the moments in your life when you thought, man, maybe I'm not living up to something right here? maybe I don't compete. Maybe I just, what was the last one chosen on the soccer team out on the playground? Maybe I was the guy in the locker room and I'm changing in front of all these guys and I'm thinking, man, I don't look like these guys. I'm not measuring up to these guys. Maybe it was with girls. Maybe I wasn't the one who doesn't have dates, or nobody's asking me to go places, or I'm afraid to ask them to go places. You know, think about those times and just think about what would have helped at that moment. Mm-hmm. Most of the time what I hear is it would have helped to have Dad come alongside me, put his arm around me and say, hey, you know what? You're just like me. You're a good guy and you're a good boy. And I had some issues too when I was growing up. But don't worry, you'll get over those. You're a chip off the old block. You'll be just like me. You know, because guess what? Most sons want to be just like their dads. And if they're already to that place where they don't want to be just like their dad, where they've already kind of rejected him, I still think they'd like to hear that you're a good boy mm-hmm. and you're a son. You're not some weirdo. You're not broken. You're a good son. Because that ends up, unfortunately, affecting their sexuality later on in life as well. And usually that has to do with, in my opinion, it has to be to do with a dad who's already uncomfortable about his own sexuality and is who he is as a man. And so he's uncomfortable knowing quite how to pass that legacy on to his son about accepting who he is as a man and his masculinity and his and just how he handles his sexuality.
Yeah, and some of the things you're saying there make me realize, okay, this means we got to step it up as dads. You know, there is to be able to even come to your son and say, hey, you know what? You're a chip off the old block. You're going to be just like me. Then you got to turn and look in the mirror and say, do I want him to be just like me?
Right. Is it safe to be like
and,
that?
Yeah. And so it's kind of this thing of parenting. It's not simply like taking information and trying to stuff it into your son's being. It's actually taking your life and the model and the example and the day in and the day out of what you are showing your son and instilling that in him. And that creates a higher call, really, sure, for us as dads, because we realize we have a much more profound job than simply putting food on the table and buying shoes when he runs out of shoes and just, you know, saying, you know, go score a touchdown.
Sure. And right now I want to say something. I don't want all the dads out there listening, and if they're driving, to swerve off the road and bury their head in their hands and sob right now because they're not making it, you know, they're not upholding this level that we're calling them to. What I want to say there is that we're not going to uphold it every time, but that a real man knows when to say, I'm sorry, son, or mm-hmm. I'm not quite doing it in the right way, son. Or, you know what, you just need to know I'm not perfect, but I want to be. I want to be better for you. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better father. Those things. Because humility is a great example that you can pass on to your kids.
Well, and that's why I think, that's why I mentioned the modeling aspect. Because to truly model true manhood to your son is going to show him what seeking forgiveness looks like. What apologizing looks like. What humility looks like. What putting others' needs above your own looks like, what sacrifice looks like. I mean, to love his mother like Christ loved the church is a great model for him.
Exactly.
To see what real manhood is like. And so it's not just, again, I'm with you. I don't want people to think, yeah, okay, dad's on the pedestal. The son's perpetually trying to measure up
right
to dad's image. Well, no. We're both cut from the same cloth of humanity. The difference is, and this is what I try to remind myself as well as teach parents, is the difference is we're just ahead of our children in
right.
life, and we've been given the charge of responsibility of training them. Other than that, guess what? We're exactly alike in our need, in our humanity, in our brokenness, in our sin. And so therefore, to be able to just be ahead of your son in life and model for him what godly manhood looks like is going to require confessing your sins and forgiveness and all those sorts of things.
Sure. And being real with your son. And I know we're running out of time, but we'll talk maybe more about it on another show. But I think finally I want to say, and since we are Pure Sex Radio, I want to say, okay, dads, how do you talk to your sons about sex?
Mm-hmm.
And what questions and what ideas have you portrayed to your son about what sex is all about? you know, most of the guys I work with, and I say most because I would say almost all of them have said at some point or the other, either they felt that Dad was uncomfortable about his own sexuality, or he never even brought up the subject, or that they don't even remember him being able to hug and kiss them because of fear of that whole sexuality boundary there. And so when you start looking at all those things, that passes on another message to your son, is that, you know, masculine male sexuality is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So watch out for it. But I won't tell you anything about it. I'll kind of, you stay in the dark, and because I was in the dark, and, you know, I don't want to talk about it because I'm too nervous by the whole subject.
And this is where I think it's so important that as dads, we never diminish the standard that God has set for our sexuality, that there not even be a hint of sexual immorality among God's people. But at the same time, we speak honestly and frankly about the sexual desires that are just part of malehood.
Exactly.
You know, part of being a man. And so it's important. Our talking about sexual desires just as they are does not diminish the standard. In other words, Dad is seeking to uphold this standard the same way he's wanting you to uphold the standard, son. And so it's like Dad falls short too, and I'm striving as well. But I want to show you some of the key things that you're going to have to realize as you work out these sexual feelings, and so that you can meet the standard.
Right. And just because I don't understand everything about sexuality doesn't mean that I can't talk to you about it, and we can't work this thing out together. And I mean, even in their own sexual, passing down your son's sexual identity to him, mm-hmm. which is saying, you're a chip off the old block, even in sexuality. I affirm in you who you are as a male and as a sexual being as a male.
Well, this has been a great conversation, and I hope it's really helped you listeners. And if you'd like some more information about how to help your sons grow up into godly manhood, please contact our ministry. We'd love to be able to come alongside you and help you in that journey. We're glad you've been with us, and we'll see you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Today's Purity Pointer, making a point that makes a difference. Brought to you by Pure Sex Radio.
Sacrifice for the sake of others. There is an old saying that says, those who fail to learn from history are destined to repeat it. As you live your life and pursue purity, who are your heroes of faith that have paved the way for you to see what integrity, perseverance, and faith look like? We need to learn from such lives, those who made sacrifices for the sake of the ones who would come after them. And as you press forward in your life, what sacrifices are you making for those who will come after you? Make wise decisions today by emulating those who laid the foundation before you, so that those who come after you will have the markers they need to navigate the trail of life wisely. Sacrifice for the sake of others.
Purity Pointer is a service of Pure Sex Radio. Listen to more Purity Pointers at PureSexRadio.com.
You've been listening to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Learn more about our show at PureSexRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Our mailing address is coming up. Get your pens ready. You can also contact us by phone at 1-800-49-PURITY. That's 1-800-49-PURITY. Our mailing address for your notes and donations is Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 401, San Antonio, Texas 78217. Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at PureSexRadio.com.